Okay, it looks like we're live and recording. First podcast kind of nervous. But thank you guys for coming on. I feel like I've gotten to know you all as people, as big little brothers lately. But really just wanted to have you all on as, like I've been saying over and over again, my guinea pigs. But thank you all for coming on and just sharing your heart. So the podcast, just because this is the first episode, podcast is really going to be based off of something called The Chase and the Truth. And how that evolves over time, I have no idea, but I'm excited to get to know how you know God works in that and uses people on this show. So and really what that means is you all have chased excellence over your life, right? And what you've learned over time, what the truth is behind that, and then just getting to know your hearts as people so that the masses can know who you really are, right? So just starting off, I want everybody to know you all as independent people. And I think the one common denominator between like us as friends is just that we all chase greatness, right? And I think that that's why like we initially connected, you and I, and then you're like, yeah, my big brother. I'm like, who's your big brother?
He's still living
And
in
then
Korea.
yeah, and it's so funny because I know that a lot of people think of you all as twins, like, oh, you know, the twins. And I'm like,
So many people. Well, growing up, obviously, you could tell the age difference a lot, I guess, easier. Now, pretty much everybody we meet assumes we're twins. And I mean,
what do you say? What's your response?
no, I'd be like, no, we're not twins. And a lot of people will think, like, oh, you're joking. But then it's like, no. And then they assume because I have facial hair, they're like, so you're the older one.
So you're big bro. And I'm like, no, I'm big bro.
I'm like, no, he's 3 years older. And then usually, halfway joking, halfway not, I'm like, I just been through a little bit of shit in life. I've been through some stuff.
Yeah, that's so funny. My sister and I are about the same, this bigger gap, age gap, but and I'm always like, yeah, guess who's older, right? But I guess when you're like,
no, y'all, because y'all
age,
look close in age too. And I'm just like, what the heck? When I think Vanessa was like, no, that's old, that's my big sister by, I can't remember how many years,
12 years.
I was like, no way. Like,
I appreciate that though.
No
right
way. Yeah,
now.
Good for you. Skincare routine is going crazy.
Know, right? Okay, so just moving into who you all are as independent people. So I asked both of you all to send me some stats, and I was like, dang, y'all got some good credentials. But that also started like when you were younger too, because your dad also played football,
sure,
right? And so there was a lot of I guess ingrained greatness, right? So what was it like growing up with father that was an athlete, and how did that translate as you became older and into your adult life?
I'll let Hayden start because we have varying perspectives on what our experiences were.
Sure. Yeah, we two very different experiences, but at the end of the day, the common denominator was love. At the end of the day, like, my dad, I'll say both my parents really care. My dad being the athlete, he knew there was so much untapped potential in both of us, but specifically me, because I didn't necessarily have that initiative growing up to say, let me get outside, let me knock out these 100 push-ups. Let me do these calf raises before I go to bed at night. I was a bit more laissez-faire in my development, where it was like, if it comes, it comes. And then I just so happened to have that natural athletic ability. And I was rolling into these experiences as I was coming up and graduating each level and excelling at each level.
Yeah.
And then it got to the turning point of, okay, are you going to make this serious in high school to go to college and then eventually go play at the professional level? And I just had that resentment towards him pushing me so much at times because he was the 1% of the 1%. He knew exactly what it took to get there.
Right.
You can't be a sane person and just get to the league on any level. You have to be a bit crazy, right? Yeah. And he wanted me to find that crazy. And I honestly couldn't, and I struggled to find that crazy until I got to college. Thank God somebody took a chance on me. Shout out Air Force Academy, right? I bloomed there and had a great career. But it took me being around a bunch of other big fish from small ponds in high school to all of us being a small fish in a big pond, and we got to fight for our life to grow.
Right.
And that's when the switch was flipped for me, and I realized I had to wake up.
That's interesting that you say that, like, that craziness or that upset. It's almost like it's an insane obsession that you have to have with whether it's sports or even in real estate, right? Because it's a grind to be successful. So many people can play sports, right? Like I say, I play sports. Like I play pickleball, right? but to have an obsession to make it to that gives everybody a false sense of athleticism. That's what it is. But to have an insane obsession to make it to at the next level, right? And you said your dad knew what it took. What was it for you growing up? Obviously, like little brother and the little brother shadow, right? I felt like my sister.
He was always trying to keep up. Yeah. Always trying to keep up.
Yeah. What's your take? Because you.
It was so personality-wise, where my dad would push him because he recognized Hayden's untapped potential, and Hayden didn't necessarily like push himself in that manner at a young age. I think being the younger sibling, it naturally, I saw him do something and I was like, the whole saying, anything you can do, I can do better. Like that's wholeheartedly how I believed,
right?
Like as a child, I see him do something and I was like, if he did it at 6, I'm going to do it at 4. And it's like, not only am I going to try to do it younger, I want to do it better. So naturally that probably shaped a lot of my personality. And then I'm sure at a young age, because our dad played football, so we were introduced to all sports, but with our dad playing football, Hayden probably loved football at a young age, but also at a younger age realized, I think I'm going to go to the hardwood and play basketball. Where for myself, at a young age, it's like, oh, cool, like my dad played football and he made it to the top, like to the highest level. I'm going to replicate everything my dad did, because if he made it and I do that, then I can make it as well. And that's just how I believe. So, yeah, I was a little abnormal as a kid in terms of just like the daily routine I had, but my dad, he held the same high expectation on me that he did with Hayden, but he didn't have to always like push me to go do stuff, because not only did I want to reach the level my dad did, but I also wanted to keep up with Hayden. If Hayden was getting these accolades and these awards and accomplishing these things, then I wanted to do it too, and I wasn't going to get it by just sitting around, because I wanted to expedite the process. So I think that allowed my dad to maybe sit back a little bit more with me, because he didn't feel the need to like, hey, you need to go do this, you need to go do that. He was just like, oh, he'll wake up and go do it. And it's funny, because if you really look at it from a team sports like success and achievement standpoint, Hayden was a lot more, like he said, relaxed in his approach to it. But his teams always had vastly more success than mine did, where it's like at a young age, yes, it's like you have your individual successes. And when you're young, when you can be one person on a team and add, then your team's going to be good, that was great. But then when you got to the higher levels in the, you know, older age, where it's like you actually have to have a collective team, Hayden still, like his AAU basketball teams were always really good, but like for the most part, like I didn't experience a whole lot of like team success within sports. And I joke around now saying like, I guess I took a lot of losses in sports to have a lot of wins in life. So
yeah,
I just, no, I just tell myself that where it's like,
wins are loading. Like, and I'm like, so happy I'm about to be a part of his
world. I'm like, shit, I didn't win a lot in sports and I gave my life to that shit. So I better win a lot in life.
Yeah. You know, talk to me about that, because I actually am living through that as a big sister with my sister, you know, and it's almost like you can see, like you want it so bad. And I'm sure you as a big brother, like you're right there, like I want it for you. Absolutely. Just as bad, right? So like you see the grind, and even now, like as a friend, right, I know your discipline in the morning. Like I see those Instagram stories, like
getting every day.
Every day, and I know that people are not outworking you, right? Just on that discipline level. So I'm excited to watch your success. But how has that learning experience, as far as experiencing losses, because the blessings are coming, right? And I'm like, you know, you're either gonna learn about your identity and your growth as an adult in your career, or you're going to learn it really early on. And I was listening to a podcast today with Ed Milet, and he was interviewing Coach Prime, right? And just talking about what he went through and his different levels of success, and then learning about identity, not attaching that to the sport, not attaching that even to your career, but just into the daily disciplines, right? Mm-hmm. So what are you excited about, I think, or what have you learned so far in that grind? And what are you excited about, I guess, in this next, call it 3-6 months with your real estate career? Because you guys are building some momentum here.
In terms of I guess, what have I learned from, like, the losses in sports?
Yeah.
Just consistency. Like, eventually something's got to break. Like, it's almost like when you think about, like, from a, I guess, what, geological standpoint of erosion. Like, I don't, there's a picture where it shows, like, a boulder or a rock, and it's, like, water drop, and it's, like, if the water's dropped on it for 1 year, and then 50 years, and it shows, and it's like over time, like if you just keep, like you pound keep,
that is
yeah,
such a
you
good analogy.
You keep hitting it, eventually, like the dam's gonna bust and everything's gonna, you know, come flowing through. But yeah, I don't know. It's honestly, since I've been a child, like it's just like I've maybe like slightly OCD, I don't know. But I've always just kind of had that approach. And again, it probably stems back from watching Hayden. Being like, I'm younger than him, but I want to keep up with him. And even in the professional sense in today's time, like, I think it's a healthy competition, not even so much competition, but like a healthy motivating factor. Like the avenue Hayden took in life, you know, going to the Air Force Academy, graduating, commissioning, going into a great career field, and having lots of success at a young age, where it's like my route was a little bit more, I guess, of the traditional route, where it's like you go to college, you graduate with a degree, and then you go find a job. And I just so happened to always take the avenue where every job I did, there was no like guaranteed paycheck, whether it was personal training, where it kind of depends on clients showing up and acquiring clients, to then transitioning into real estate, where it's solely commission based. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I feel like if I'm not consistent with something, then I'm like, I'm never going to reap the reward of it. And I mean, I'm sure you've seen, again, to draw back to just another picture where it shows somebody like, digging, and they quit when they're like this far away, and on the other side is a giant diamond, and then that one person just takes one or two more swings and they've reaped the rewards. And so it's like, that's how I feel, where if I were to just like throw in the towel and quit, I would never be able to like comfortably live with myself, because I'd be like, wow, I was maybe one step away from achieving the ultimate success I was pursuing, but I, you know, gave up too soon.
Yeah, there's a great book on that. It's called 3 Feet from Gold, and it talks about exactly that, you know. But I've known you now, I think, for a year, and I don't think I've ever known this about you. So just, like, I mean, I have a lot of respect for you, but definitely, like, raises the level of respect, especially because I'm going through that with my sister, too. And what I respect the most is the fact that you continue to have, because, yeah, it's, like, work ethic, and you trust the process, whatever, but it's really faith, right? Like, I don't know, but I'm just going to keep sowing these seeds because they're going to reap at one point. And so those blessings are coming, Gavin. I'm really excited for you.
I will say, like, he is a daily inspiration for me, just because we
low-key same.
I put that on everything. And I mean that on the deepest levels, because it's like we did have two completely different life paths.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we were both athletes. But then once college ends, like, we went in different directions. And, like, you know, he would explain things that he was struggling with, and he would wake up and I'd see his grind every single day. And it's like, that is a constant reminder that great things are coming for him because of his consistency, because of his, like, output, because of everything he's putting, the energy he's directing to these things. At some point, that
it's
going
to
break and it's going
to
come together, and it's a huge wave loading. Like, you know, it's like you're sitting out on the ocean and there's like these small waves, and it's like you wait for the one big wave. It's coming because he deserves it. Right.
Yeah.
And if I can do anything moving back to Austin to help us build this collectively together, because
collectively.
We have,
we're in
perfect
right now,
collectively, I think it's going to be a beautiful thing, because we have so, like, we have independent strengths that will bridge and come together to be able to help so many people in so many different ways.
Yeah.
So.
In a way, you're like, I'm going to ride your wave, little brother.
I'd love to, you know, like, if I can add to it and then we can ride this wave together. Like, I just know a couple of his wins are coming. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, they got to. It's been an interesting, like, journey through life. Like, if you were to just rewind, like, to, like, the whole recruiting process, like Hayden talked about in high school coming out, someone took a chance on him. Like, similar situation, like, I feel like what I did in my sport in high school, like, I should have had, like, my pick of the litter and where I wanted to go. But, yeah, like, you know, you figure if you're All-State in Texas for football, like, oh, shoot, you can pick where you want to go.
5A All-State.
It just, it is what it is.
Like, where are my options?
Yeah, and then, I mean, even, like, small things, like, senior year, the yearbook comes out, like, didn't even put my name under my picture. They put a girl's name under my picture.
No.
Like, just random stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all throughout life where, like, college, graduated from Texas State, finished my career, redshirted. So I came back, but then my last year was the COVID year. And so it's like you technically had another year of eligibility. So I never even got to walk on senior night. A year after I had left, I'm still getting text messages from our compliance department because I guess they didn't know I was gone. Like, so it's like I've never just had like
a normal. I'm trying to catch a break.
I've never had a normal transition of anything in life. So yeah, it's
yeah
something's coming good.
Yeah,
that's what I believe.
Maybe so, it's like a little sibling thing because I don't know. That. I feel like
I don't know.
I've also have the same demeanor as you, and we know this, right? Because yep. We've done like collective sibs, and sure. You know, and we have the same.
Younger yeah, siblings sure. Are undefeated.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to run that one back. We're going to take
it. Whoa. Got.
Just
should we stop this thing? No. anyway, y'all want it so bad, right? So the winds are coming. But yeah, this is so interesting because, and, you know, going back to getting y'all's stats, I felt that because I saw all of your stats, right? And y'all local to Austin, right? Mm-hmm. Graduated from Anderson. And then played basketball, played football. And I saw all your stats come in, and you also have your military stats, and you're like, you got three stats, right? Yeah. But man, that just gives me actually chills now knowing the full story, because it's like your next stat should have been, but the best is yet to come. And that's going to either be this year, 2024, or 2025. But we all know, like, I'm in real estate, mortgage literacy, like, we're like, it's coming, right? Yeah. The wave is coming.
Bring the wave.
We're here. Yeah. But even if that wave wasn't going to come, your efforts have been there over the past, what, how many years have you now been in real estate? 2 years?
Two.
Yeah. So the next stat should have been the best is yet to come, and it is coming. So 100%. Excited for you. And do you want to talk about some of your military history? Sure. I know that you, because you're married.
Yes.
You're single. This is not a blast to like find you a spouse, but everybody asks me about you. They're like, "Hey, Gavin, you talk to him all the time.
Lord.
Like, is he open? Is he available?" I'm like, "Don't be hitting at my little brother." But but you're married, so you tell me about your story. You met her. I know she's. I love her so much.
Yes, she's great.
Equally as talented in the photography, space, and y'all met in college.
We did.
Okay.
So she went to the Air Force Academy as well.
Boss.
She's a genius.
She's pretty smart. She was recruited there to play soccer. So we were both athletes coming into the academy. We were not like born and wanting to fly jets. The Air Force thing was new to both of us.
Okay.
The military was new to both of us. But she ended up having compound fractures in her shin. She had multiple surgeries, tib-fib type situation. And she needed something to distract her while she was at the academy. Because if you don't, good luck.
They're shouting. And she told me one time, she's like, they're shouting in your face. She's like, I couldn't even.
The Air Force Academy is no joke. And I tell, like, I don't even know if I'd wish my kids on it, like, to go. Like, if that comes across their table, I'm going to be like, ooh, you need to think really hard about this.
Yeah.
Because there's so much associated with that. It's not a college experience. It's a grind. But she became a basketball manager. And I finally built up the nerve.
And you were on the basketball team.
Correct, right? And I didn't talk to her for a long time because, like, one, like, she was literally in a relationship when she started managing. And then, like, they ended up breaking up. And then I was just like, let me see if I can talk to her a little bit. The rest is history. Like, you know, we're now married and no kids yet, but maybe in the future here soon, like that's a possibility. But we both had
he said maybe he better make me an
nah,
uncle.
We won't have to
better make me an uncle.
But no, Air Force careers. She actually ended up going Space Force, which is super cool, and not many people do that.
Wow.
New branch that stood up, and she got pulled over pretty immediately and did some really cool stuff on the Space Force side of things. I stayed traditional Air Force. But we followed each other around for 5 years before she separated, and then I finished out going over to Korea for my last assignment before ultimately making the decision to come home to Austin to start this company business, family business with Gavin, and so we can help as many people in Austin as possible.
Yeah, so talk to me about that. So that's an amazing journey, and also like meeting your spouse and then saying, hey, be right back. Like you were in Korea and she was here?
Yes, so we moved her to Austin. We were coming from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I actually picked up the Korea assignment when we were in Albuquerque. And so the idea was, okay, let's keep her close to family of some sort, whether that's hers or mine. And the logical decision, because I thought I was either going to come back to Austin or San Antonio if I was going to stay military. We moved her to Austin. And then I packed up 3 days later after moving her to Austin, and I flew out to Korea. Spent 8.5 months there. And wow, it was difficult for sure, because like I wasn't allowed to even bring her over there. There's two known Air Force bases over there. One is more like north, headed towards Seoul, that you can bring family, kids, all of that dependents over there. Mm-hmm. Where I was at, you can't bring anybody. It's just you. And it's a heavy mission set. Like,
and
a very
deployment
tempo.
At that
point,
how long had you all been married?
Oh, for like 4 years.
Okay.
Like, so we got married in 2019.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, and some change. But like, married, established, and it's just kind of like a weird put it on hold type situation. Sorry, I'll see you in 8 months. She did get to come over, and we spent New Year's together in Tokyo, which was amazing. But so we got some cool experiences together, but it was such a unique experience, because like one side of the coin, I had the best year of my life getting to do an awesome mission set and be a part of something in Korea and get to explore Asia. And on the other side, like the other half of me was like not around. So it was such a weird dynamic, and like I was very excited to be able to come back here a little bit early, because I got back in May of 2023 instead of what would have been October, because of the fact that I was separating from the Air Force and whatnot. So
wow. So what has the transition been for you from the military life into civilian life, and then Austin, and then career change? Like, what has that been like? Are you okay?
It's been so much, to be completely honest with you. Like, I've worked through a lot over these last, you know, this last half a year, really almost coming up on a year since getting back in May. But it's crazy. Time is flying by. But contrary to popular belief, I have never, the military has this sense of like just elite structure, right? But I've never taken the time to work on myself like I have since getting out of the military.
That's really profound.
Ever.
Yeah.
I have taken the time to kind of learn who I am, figure out like why I tick the way I tick, things I've never explored about me and my journey. I've taken the time, and I've just been able to sit and be calm with them. And I've implemented practices of meditation. I've discovered Joe Dispenza and all of these amazing, like life-changing, really. But it's helping me become the truest version of myself that the military masks, because the military tells you what you need to be doing. The military tells you what you're going to wear, where you need to be, and what kind of lifestyle you need to live to get by.
Right.
And military is very survival based, where it's like, what can I do to get by? How can I finish the day? And then you move on to the next day to do the same thing over again. Here, getting into a new business, dropping a career that I knew was such a terrifying thing for me that I didn't really share with many people, but I knew it was going to take an insane amount of dedication and like effort to really, really lock in on who I wanted to be and how my habits were going to be built out and how we were going to move forward with this whole real estate thing. And it's been such a great journey for me, and I think it's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. It's just making the decision to burn the ships and to just open this new chapter of life, because I do feel like there is now no ceiling on the possibilities of what we can do.
Yeah.
And it's just on us, and it's in our hands to be able to just go make it happen.
Yep. Absolutely. I think that, and you know, playing collegiate sports, and shout out to our mutual friend, Corey Camp with Forever Athlete. I love what he's doing, but there is between that and with what Nate Boyer is running at MVP like your identity is either in a jersey or in a uniform, and that structure is created for you, right? So a lot of people say, okay, if you play a sports, especially at the collegiate level, or if you're in the military and you're chasing the ranks, right, then you should naturally be successful in any other endeavor. But the truth is, all of that grind was kind of put in front of you. Like, this is the path, you're gonna do X, Y, and Z, and it's so structured, so regimented, and if you just follow this plan, you'll be successful. Now it's like, it's up to you to recreate all of that. Your identity is not in the uniform. It's not in your jersey, right? And like having to figure that out for yourself. So really, like, taking the last year to work on you. I don't think people realize, like, when you're transitioning out into civilization, it's like it's rough because your days aren't planned.
So. And I try to put on a smile and I try to keep the optimism. Yeah. Like, you know, the vibes are high, right?
Right.
I don't want to rain on anybody else's parade. And so, like,
that's Big Brother
challenge, right?
That's Big Brother of like holding it all together. We're good.
Right.
Yeah.
He actually does a really good job of holding things together because he could explode at any point, but he doesn't. But I think that's a strength that we both have, and I'm getting better at it. But yeah, it's been a challenge, but it's been one of the most beautiful journeys over the past year that I could have ever thought of experiencing. So
yeah, that's amazing. Well, now individual people combining forces to be the Graham brothers, otherwise known as the twins.
Yeah, right.
Do you know the twins? The twins recently completed the marathon, so that was huge. I wanted to mention that because everybody thinks like, oh yeah, I can run it. Like, that is so hard.
It was so hard. Oh my.
And the training for that. And you're still running.
He was chilling.
I thought it was pretty fun. I mean, it wasn't
kind
like
a runner's high. I think that's what they call it. I don't run, so I wouldn't know.
It was a good time. I mean, it like obviously would have been a lot more boring if I had done it by myself, but I got to run it with him. So it's like we just conversate, have a good time.
Yeah.
It's
good. We had some great conversation throughout the run.
Yeah.
Throughout the race.
I don't think like he never wore headphones. I never wore headphones.
Oh,
we just talked the whole time.
Never once. Like, I thought about it.
Even when you were training or?
I think on our one training run, we put headphones in. Other than that, on training runs, we just talk. Because we'd usually run in groups, like for trainings, like on Saturday long runs.
Yeah.
Beyond the marathon, like I had my headphones in case he was like, shut up, I don't want to talk to you. I was like, oh, okay.
I did that once.
Nope.
But,
I wasn't feeling it that day, but I was like, I knew I had to get it in.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was. We just talked the whole time. It was a good time.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And also just another opportunity to practice discipline outside of like real estate, right? So something really exciting about you all, I was going to your feed and I was like, dang, I was looking at your, because you guys have just been consistent. I've known you pre-posting consistent content, right? And then now like creating the Graham Brothers Instagram and then just consistently posting. Some of them are kind of funny, especially when you post the bloopers. Those are hilarious.
But a lot of mishaps on the camera.
Yeah, mishaps. I'm sure there's a lot behind the scenes that happens.
Oh, yeah.
But I've also noticed some success on some of those reels as far as views. So what has that been like? Just like the consistency of posting. Have you guys been reaping the rewards? What is that looking like for you? And what's the plan for the Graham Brothers moving forward?
Okay.
I was going to let you go.
Yeah.
I don't know if the camera caught that, but they both looked at each other.
No, I think the combined Instagram just helps kind of like bring our identities together. Mm-hmm. You get to see both of us and how we tick and how we move. And then, we've kind of incorporated, and we've talked about this before, like not just house reels, home tours, but like some Austin to-dos or...
Right.
Things to eat, best foods, food trucks, whatever it may be. And those are honestly like our best performing reels.
Oh, the food one.
Yeah,
the
I always joke and say maybe instead of real estate, we should be like food bloggers. Or something. Like those are the ones that do the best.
I make some controversial statements on there sometimes. Uh-huh. And, you know, Houston, Texas just stays mad at me. Because
you see that in the comments or?
Oh, yeah. I said like Austin, Texas has the best food scene in Texas and Houston just lost their mind. And I'm just like, oh, no. I mean, this video would not stop messing with my phone. And I was just like, okay, this has got to like.
We hit a nerve.
Oh, my God. Triggered, right? Triggered. But no, like, I think we're finding that balance still of like how to incorporate things. We just recently added a whole new niche to our real estate business, and that's like apartment locating as well, because we weren't doing that.
That's right. I noticed that you guys made a jump. So now you're with, talk to me about your new brokerage that you're with. And
we're with the NAV agency now. And so we obviously will still continue to do our residential business. But yeah, like you mentioned, we add a whole new layer to it. And one that I wasn't familiar with on like an in-depth level. Like I had heard people talk about, oh, I do apartment locating, but I never took the time to really, I guess, either ask or explore deeper on my own to be like, well, what exactly does that entail? And then you learn, like, I mean, not everybody who moves to Austin or lives in Austin is buying a house, especially when you look at the statistics of 150 people moving here a day. Like, sure, if everybody moving here bought a house, that'd be phenomenal. Well, I don't think we don't have enough houses for everybody to do that. So
right, that's true.
That's why almost every building downtown has a crane on it, because they're building more high rises. But yeah, so adding the apartment locating to our business, it's a nice layer where it's more of a it's like a quicker process as well, because again, you're not buying a house, you're getting an apartment. And so it's like, also when you look at it, it's, you're helping people in their immediate needs, but then you're also, while helping somebody and doing business with them at that current moment, you're also building relationships and adding them in for the long haul. Because more times than not, if somebody's in an apartment, unless they choose to take the avenue of never owning something, they're probably gonna be in an apartment, and then from there look to buy a house, and then from buying a house, eventually one day they're gonna sell or whatever, maybe just continually acquire property. So it's like a win-win. Like, we get to help people, but then also it's beneficial for our business as time goes on. So
it's like expediting the book of business, essentially.
We
change our pie to from 7% or whatever that is, 5% of our market or network, to now 100%.
Right.
You've got to have a roof over your head. And so, like, if we're just the best at helping you find an apartment, we're going to do that and make sure you're in the best spot for the best deal. Now it's 100%.
What was the motivating factor, I guess, getting into real estate in general? Because I know, like, you just said coming out of college and then getting different jobs, like, there was no security in those opportunities, right? But why? And then you getting out of the military, I mean, you could do anything. Why was it real estate? And then, and I think I know the answer, and it's because how you guys are wired to help people, but why real estate?
Well, I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been in service-based anything, right? Like, the military is literally signing your life away in case of an event, right? And protecting our borders. But I felt that in the same way, but slightly different, real estate is a great way for us to just help as many people in an industry that can kind of be bogged down with, like, predatory behaviors, bad actors, illegitimate professionals. And not saying that's everybody, but there are so many realtors and professionals in that space that don't do a good job. And so Gavin and I, as we talked about this, we're just like, let's go change the culture. Like, let's go show people that you can have an amazing experience. It doesn't have to be this stressful thing. We can have fun acquiring properties and assets for your futures. And it's just like, I think between our personalities and just like the interest we have in real estate and then being able to connect with people and build new relationships, I just don't think there's a better avenue for us, honestly.
Like, and then being originally from Austin, I don't think people realize that. Everybody, unicorns in this industry for sure. But I'm happy that you made that jump to service. Like you said, the pie is bigger and it's not to serve yourselves, but it's to serve, like, all of Austin, because everybody needs a roof over their head. I never thought about it that way, but my industry is a little bit different because it's only home sales. So, but yeah, I can totally resonate with that, because if you have a heart for service, you're like, there's people here that still need our help, and we're limiting ourselves. So I guess one final question for each of you all to answer, and then, and you can just share your heart. It doesn't have to be a perfect answer. Like, you guys have been so real, and I'm so grateful for you all just being here. But can you share, I guess, a vulnerable memory, whether it was through childhood, high school, or even collegiate athletics, or in your adult life, that has really, like, impacted who you are as a person now? And then really, like, if that ties into how you serve people in real estate, great. But if not, like, you know, what is that vulnerable memory that you might have when you were younger? And how
that's a good question. I'm trying to think.
Putting you guys in that
vulnerable memory.
It doesn't have to be that deep. It could just be like, I slipped on the stairs
I do think I have one. And it was, I'll kind of put a bow on it at the end, but I will never forget leaving Austin, Texas, to go up to the Air Force Academy for the first time, not knowing what I was getting into, and the nerve that was associated with that, of just like, this is a huge bet on yourself.
Right.
You don't know what's on the other side of this flight. You don't know what you're walking into. You're going to be up here for at least 5 years. Strap in. And like, I think back on that pivotal moment as a kid, like, to be able to make that decision at a younger age, 17, 18 years old, to commit to that idea and then to see it through kind of brings a reminder that just go for it. Like take the next step in life. And even if you don't know what's on the other side of it, see it through. Keep going and something's gonna break. I think it was the single best decision in my life to end up going to the Air Force Academy because of the doors it opened and the experiences and the world travels that I had. I will never, ever have any sort of resentment towards that decision. But it also reminds me every single day that even though it's dark in the room, keep taking your steps forward because something great's gonna come on the other side of it.
Dang, that gives me chills. I was just listening to that same podcast today, and Coach Prime was talking about how our society is filled with people that don't finish.
Yes.
Don't finish a book. Don't finish a podcast. Don't finish watching a TV show, at, for that matter, right? They just don't finish a workout. Cut themselves short, right? And like you just said, to see it through. You make a commitment, because so many people will make a commitment. Yeah, I'm going to read Joe Dispenza's book. It sounds cool. You read the first two chapters. Yeah, it's so great. Oh my God, I love it, right? But did you finish? Did you see it through? And that's just on a short scale, right? But oh my God, I love that, seeing it through. What about you? Now you're like mulling over some ideas over there.
I'd probably say like the two that really hit me would be
two.
Well, because it's like
it can be two.
Well, because it's like two, both like pivotal.
We stumbled on the same word.
Important, pivotal, whatever times in my life were kind of like the inverse. One of them was the inverse of his. So, I spent a year at the Air Force Academy.
That's right.
Because he went up there to play basketball. Did I want to go there? Not really. But they offered me a football scholarship, and obviously I understood the opportunity of going through there, graduating, and then what it could be. And I was like, cool, like I can go to school with my brother. Absolutely. Because I'll never forget the day he left to go to college. Fortunately, I was like sick that day. So at the airport, I was more concerned with getting home and like not yakking in the airport. But in that probably,
that's what we're going
to believe. And that probably saved me. But that, when he left to go to college, like that was probably one of the most, it's not like I was a little kid. Like I knew exactly what happened, but it was still probably one of the most confusing days of my life, because I remember going home, not feeling well, but also just crawling back into bed and being like, what the hell am I supposed to do now? Like Hayden's gone. And not from like, I don't know how to live life, but like we did everything together growing up. Like shout out to him, because when he was in high school and could have just like ran off with his friends all the time, he'd be like, nah, I'm gonna kick it with my brother. So it's like when he left, it wasn't like, oh, he'll be back next week. It was like, shit, like, all right, I'm like essentially like a single child now. So when I had the opportunity to go up there, I did that.
That makes me want
to
cry.
Bro died. He's gone.
Well, he went to basic training, so I couldn't even talk to him either. Yeah. So it wasn't I FaceTimed him the next day. So I jumped at the opportunity to go up there, play football, go to school with Hayden. But then I left after a year, and opposite of him, when he was on his way up there in the airport, when I was in the airport back, like as a civilian, I was sitting in the airport and I was like, oh shit. Like I just left the academy, where it's like, if you find a way to get through it, like you're good. Then you have to try to mess your life up. Where then I was sitting there and I was like, okay, like I made a decision. I was like, I'm gonna bet on myself. Like there's more than one way to do it in life. But I remember sitting there thinking like, all right, like what am I doing next? I told my parents I wouldn't leave without getting another scholarship offer, because I'd never make them pay for college. So I at least knew I was going to go somewhere to play football. But I hadn't made up my mind yet where I was going to go. And I remember it was like right before everybody else got out of school, when I out-processed and came home. And I didn't tell no one knew I was home other than my parents. And so, and maybe I think like my high school football coach, because I would wake up early before school started and I'd go work out at the high school and I'd be gone before anybody else showed up, because I didn't want anybody to know I was home. And so it was like just like a weird like moment in my life where it's like I'm grown, like I shouldn't be at home anymore, but I'm back home trying to figure out this next step. So that was interesting. But then I ended up down at Texas State, played that whole time, and then I think when like I took my last snap of football, because I tore my ACL and meniscus in 2019, but knew I had my redshirt year. So arguably tearing my ACL was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. But I came back from that, and 13 months after that, we were playing on Halloween night, and I ruptured my bicep tendon. And that was the last snap of football I ever played. And I had like a peaceful transition out of football, but I remember fall semester of 2020 ending and just kind of like that spring semester where I wasn't in school, but I wasn't like working a job. And it was kind of like a eye-opening experience for me where it's like my whole life, all I ever dedicated myself to was football. Mm-hmm. And so like a lot of kids go through college and they do internships and it's like they kind of know like, cool, when I graduate, I have job offers, I have this, I have that. Where it's like I had like, I don't know, I never even had like much of a backup plan. It was like, I'm going to play football until the wheels fall off and then I'll figure it out. And so I remember I would wake up kind of how Hayden talks about his like self-discovery journey when he got out of the military. I remember I would wake up, I'd work out, I would go help a guy like train some kids. And then I'd come home and I was like, well, like, let me read a book for an hour a day. Let me go meet with my financial advisor every other week to start like educating myself on like the monetary side of the world. And then honestly, like, sure, could I have been a little bit more proactive in terms of going to get a job and doing things like that? Like, absolutely. But I think looking back on it, I was in such like a weird phase of my life where then I'd probably spend an hour where I would just like lay on my back and almost like my body would almost like go to sleep. Like I wouldn't feel the presence of my body more, but my mind would be awake. And I'd just lay there and I'd think and just like explore my own thoughts and just like who I was. And I did that for like a whole spring semester when I didn't have really shit going on.
The same as like you transitioning out into civilian life, right? Mm-hmm. It just happened to you at that point.
And, right. It's like, and Hayden can attest to it. Like I, and how they say it's unhealthy to tie your identity to a sport. Like I 1000% for the first 23 years of my life, like if it didn't pertain to football, I really didn't care about it.
I've never seen a more extreme case.
Like that was, and so like when football was completely gone, like I was still happy as a human being. Like I've always loved myself and known that like there's more to me than just football. But while football was a thing, like that was my life. And so while I was still happy, it's not like some people, they finish football and they don't know like who they are anymore. Yeah. But it was like a, well, what am I going to do with my life now? Like, what do I want to do? And so that was like an interesting moment. Phase of life for me. Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, I would say interesting, but really like dynamic and pivotal moment. Oh, like absolutely. You were saying, both when you're like exiting the academy and then also like transitioning into the real world. I think it's normal for everybody to feel that way, yes. But I relate it to my little sister too, because her identity has been in golf, right? And I always now like thinking about it, either you're going to rewire who your identity is, that it's in you, and if you believe in somebody greater, then it's in God, right? But that's either going to be rewired when you're young or in your adult life. But the sooner that it happens, the better, because that's when the blessings are coming.
Someone says, I can't remember who it was, they say you can participate in the change or you can react to the change. It's going to happen either way.
Yeah.
But if you participate in the change, you can almost anticipate, prepare yourself, line things up to where you can walk into it gracefully. If you react to it, something knee-jerk happens, then you're all thrown off your rocker. You don't know what direction, up, down, left, right, front, back. You're just all discombobulated, and life falls into this chaotic state. So it's either you participate in the change or you react to the change.
So. Sounds like, yeah, and that's a fantastic point. And I think that that's also a fantastic point when it comes to working with buyers and even people that are moving into apartment locating. Mm-hmm. Because in the market in general in Austin, like, it's a very reactive market, not a responsive market. So you still need that as well. But you're able to take what you've learned, right? And also all dealing with change, right? You're working with all of these people that are going through a change in their life. And you both having handled that and having those experiences individually, you're able to both bring that to the table to the next person that you meet and that you're able to help. So that's really exciting. Guys, I'm so happy to have had you on here and get to know you at a deeper level, not just like my big little bros.
Got a little vulnerable today.
Yeah, got a lot vulnerable. I'm so proud of you guys taking down the wall for us. But thank you guys so much. I'm looking forward to just getting to know you all even better along the way now that we know this information, and really just putting this out there for other people to learn about you guys. Amazing. As well.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Always appreciate you. Always love you.
Fist like, bumps.
You're the best. Like, the best at what you do. So, like.
Oh, thank you.
I literally, you're an inspiration. You're an inspiration. You're too seriously inspirational people for me. So, like,
appreciate
thank you
guys. But we look forward to the next time, maybe in a couple of episodes, have y'all back on and see what's new.
Let's do it.
You know, if you call, I answer.
Yeah. You're like, I'm here. Yeah. We'll see you guys. Cool.